Today on Mark 7 from verse 14 to 23, and in conjunction with that, we'll open our Bibles and we'll read from Mark 7 verse 1 through to 23. Mark 7 from verse 1, where it says, "The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding on to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, 'Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?' He replied, 'Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men.' And he said to them, 'You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, "Honour your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death." But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, "Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban, that is, a gift devoted to God," then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." Again Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." So far. Thanks, Fred.
Last week we had a look at the first seven verses of Mark chapter 7. And the Pharisees, tells Mark, came to Jesus with what sounded a genuine question, but what in actual fact was just an attack on his teaching. And therefore Jesus' reaction is rather vehement. "You hypocrites. Isaiah's word applies to you. You people honor me with your lips, but you keep your hearts far from me. You worship me in vain. You teach man-made rules, but you set aside the commands of God. You nullify the word of God." Well, friends, these are sharp accusations. And over the centuries, many Christian preachers have spent a fair bit of time on Pharisee bashing. Hypocrites. Very nice topic to preach about. And it's easy to nod our agreement. Hypocrisy is bad indeed. Saying one thing and doing another. For instance, publicly you stand up for good sexual morals, but secretly you indulge yourself in pornography. That is hypocrisy, in our opinion. And the world is full of that kind of hypocrisy. But as I studied my Bible over the years, I did a rather shocking discovery. Namely, that these Pharisees were not as bad as I was led to believe. And why was that so shocking? Because I discovered that I myself was a lot closer to them than I liked. See, these Pharisees were actually great people. They were people of integrity. They were good family people. They wouldn't cheat on you. They faithfully paid their taxes. They made a great contribution to society. They were honorable citizens. It would be fantastic if today we would have more Pharisees in our government or in the police force, in the army, in the city council, in our schools, etc. Because our society can do with people of integrity in leadership positions. And that is what Pharisees were. They behaved as they believed. Right was right, and wrong was wrong. And that's how they lived. And yet, there was a flaw in every Pharisee, a spiritual flaw. Despite the many good things he said and did, he had a wrong relationship with God. He somehow maintained his pride by thinking that his commitment to God and his law would make him right with God. And he did not live by grace in utter humility. But he thought that he could place God in his debt by always doing the right things and be very precise and even sincere about that. So a Pharisee never understood the desperate situation of his sinful heart. And that, friends, is a very common problem. Not only in Jesus' time, also in ours. Not only outside the church, but inside, it is just the same. You can live a blameless life in the eyes of yourself and of people around you, and yet maintain an unconverted heart that has never been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Our theme is, create in me a new heart. Text part that we focus on this morning is verse 14 to 23. So we begin at verse 14 and we read this. Again, Jesus called a crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Now try to imagine the situation. Jesus has just dismissed the religious traditions of the Jews as mere lip service. You people worship God in vain. You're wasting your time if you think that God will be pleased with any of it. Wow. Can you see that this is no less than placing a bomb under everything the Jews up to now had believed in? It is wiping away the beloved Jewish tradition and culture as a means of becoming right with God. Jesus saying all these generally respected teachers of the law, they've got it all wrong. Don't listen to them. So Jesus has pointed out very clear to the Pharisees in verse 1 to 13, and with that he dismisses them. Let them think about it. And when our text starts, then Jesus leaves the Pharisees alone, and then he addresses the crowd. He calls the crowd to him, and he says to them this. People, you may have enjoyed listening to my encounter to the Pharisees. But this applies to you as well. You have to make a decision for yourself. See, I assume that many in the crowd had enjoyed the confrontation of Jesus and the Pharisees. I mean, a bit of Pharisee bashing is always entertaining. It's always entertaining to hear the bashing of people in leadership. People in government do all the time. But now Jesus turns to the people, to the crowd, and says to them, where do you stand in this? Do you know what God requires of you? And friends, we better listen carefully too, because he also addresses us. And the question is, are you prepared to be challenged by him? Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Now, it's an incredible statement. And the people must have looked at one another and asked, what? Did he really say what I heard him say? I can't believe my ears. But yes, this is exactly what he said. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. And Mark confirms that in verse 19 by saying, with these words, Jesus declared all foods to be clean. All foods clean? But that is close to blasphemy. That is denying the very word of God. The Bible, for instance, in the book of Deuteronomy, lists a whole heap of animals which the Jews were not supposed to eat. They were unclean food for them. They could give it away, they could sell it to foreigners, but the Israelites, as a people, are holy to the Lord. And they should stand out in the world as different. And they did. So how can Jesus say a thing like this? Being clean or unclean has nothing to do with what you eat. That is setting aside the very laws that Moses gave us. And yes, that's right. That's exactly what Jesus is doing. See, somewhere he says about himself more than Moses is here. Moses was a prophet from God who brought Israel the word of God, valid for that time and moment. And now Jesus comes, more than Moses is here. I am the Son of God who is teaching you new things. I am the new lawgiver. And my teachings will cancel your beloved tradition. Because my word is even more than the scriptures of the old covenant. Now how can Jesus say that? How can he do that? God doesn't change, does he? Why this remarkable swing to set aside parts of the Bible? Now, to get a good picture for ourselves, we have to realize that indeed for many centuries, God had set the people of Israel apart. They were holy to the Lord, as the Bible says. Why? There was actually one reason for it. God had destined this people to bring forth the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And therefore, he didn't want them to become just one of the nations. He wanted them to be separate from the nations. He had set them apart. He made them holy. And to achieve that separation, God had given them a set of rules which we call the ceremonial law. And these laws not only created a different lifestyle for the people of Israel, but also pointed towards the coming Messiah. Sacrifices, special feast days, food laws, etc. They all spoke about the Savior who one day would shed his blood for the salvation of God's special children. And therefore, now that Jesus, the Messiah, to whom all these laws pointed, now Jesus, the Messiah, has come, all these laws have become obsolete. They are a past state. There's no need for them anymore. See, the pictures of the Messiah, these laws provided, have become reality. The Messiah himself is now here. That's what Jesus is saying. So forget about the pictures and come listen to the promised Messiah. And try to understand that the difference that the law made between clean and unclean was also just a picture. With the animals or with the special food, it was not really about the animals. And with the ceremonial washings, it wasn't about outward cleanliness and hygiene. All God, through those laws, wanted to make them aware of is their inner impurity that needed attention. The sin of a human heart that needs cleansing. And to bring this cleansing about, to make this a reality, that was the task of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. Now, unfortunately, the majority of Israel never understood that. They clung to those outward symbols, and they do up to today, but they never grasped the spiritual meaning of it. They were keen to circumcise their young boys according to the law, but they missed the point that God was actually after circumcision of their hearts. Because that's where the problem is. And that's why Jesus adds, rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. And as you can see, our Bible translation omitted verse 16 here in the text and moved it to a footnote. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I'm convinced that these words should be in the text because it's a word with which Jesus dismisses the crowd. I've said my say. You go home and think about this. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear what I'm saying. He's not going to explain this to them any further. Let them chew on it. What does he mean? Let them wonder. Let them discuss it amongst themselves. See, it's a kind of parable Jesus gives here. Now, that's the word used here. Yeah? Later on, the disciples ask him about this parable. Now, parable is a short story meant to challenge your thinking without giving the clue. And the effect of speaking in parables is that only those who take Jesus seriously, who really want to know, will come back and ask him about it. And if you're not too serious about him or what he has to say, well, you don't understand anyway, but you say, well, I don't know what this guy's talking about. And I can't be bothered too much either. And then you don't ask any questions. Friends, I'm aware that I often say things here from the pulpit that some of you won't understand. That's not because I am unclear or because you are not clever enough. But simply, I'm sometimes talking about things you may not be able to relate to. And I pray that if I say things here that you don't quite get, that you have the guts to come to me and ask me about it. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. And let him ask if he doesn't understand. Now, thankfully, Jesus' disciples were not too proud to ask him. And they were not afraid to come to him. So what do you mean? Now, I believe that is the Holy Spirit working in the disciples because the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to them the secret of the kingdom. And therefore they have to ask questions. And therefore the Holy Spirit prompts these people to ask their questions. And Jesus seems to be amazed that they don't understand. He says, are you so dull? Can't you see the point? It's so obvious. Now, I must say, I feel for the disciples. First, that statement about food that can't make you unclean. As Jews, it was hard to digest that one. They'd never eaten pork, and they wouldn't think of doing so. The thought would disgust them. Remember how Peter, and perhaps he's the one who asks here the question, even a few years later, has a vision. And in that vision, he is invited to eat from everything that's in the shade that he sees in that vision. And it contains all kinds of animals, some of them definitely unclean. And then Peter is adamant in his refusal. Surely, Lord, I've never eaten anything impure or unclean all my life. And then the Lord says, do not call anything impure that God has declared clean. So Peter, at that time, it's 1 or 2 years later, had to be convinced again. And it was God's way of showing to Peter that the gospel of salvation was also for non-Jews who were considered to be unclean. And there was, of course, another difficulty for understanding this parable. Food enters a man by the proper body opening for that, his mouth. And therefore it's not strange that when Jesus speaks about what comes out of a man, that they first think of the body opening that is for getting rid of the remainders of the food. That is unclean stuff indeed. But how can that make you unclean? And can't you understand what I mean, says Jesus. So the food laws are only talking about the body. Food is for the stomach. It goes through the body and it leaves the body. But I'm not talking about a body or your stomach. I am talking about a man's heart. You can be very conscious about food laws, but there's nothing spiritual about it. Whatever you eat or don't eat doesn't make you more or less spiritual. It is the state of your heart that God is interested in. And if your heart has not been changed, if the Holy Spirit has not cleansed you from sin, no food law can change your life. If your heart is not regenerated, it remains a fountain of evil. Look at verse 21. What terrible things come out of an unconverted heart? Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All those things live in a heart that has not been changed by the Holy Spirit. And don't fool yourself, it comes out. Evil thoughts. You may not actually do the actual sin, but even the desire to sin shows the evil inside. Sexual immorality. Adultery doesn't begin with the act, but starts in the lusts of the heart. Slander. The moment you delight in gossip about people, you show that your heart has not been cleansed. Greed. You may keep yourself from stealing, but if the desire for more than you are entitled to is in your heart, there is something wrong. Arrogance. You consider yourself a better person than someone else. And then you have already lost sight of the grace of God who made you who you are. Now all these evil come from inside and make a man unclean. In other words, these evils are proof that by nature we are all unclean. We all need a washing that goes beyond ceremonial washings. Now, can you see how challenging this teaching is? Jesus didn't only come to clear up some misunderstandings about God and about religion, but he came as the Son of God to declare Israel's religion obsolete by saying it's merely a shadow which now needs to be replaced by reality. The Messiah has come. See, Jesus is the one who reveals our real problem. Our heart is unclean. It's not fit to have a relationship with God, with the Holy God in heaven. But praise God, Jesus didn't only come to identify the problem. He also came to solve it. And since we cannot cleanse our own heart ourselves, he does it by presenting himself to us as our Savior, by paying the guilt that we couldn't make undone, by granting us his Holy Spirit, who changes our heart from a source of evil into a source of joy and thankfulness and love and confidence. The old has gone, the new has come. And that is a much bigger thing than just declaring Israel's food laws obsolete. See, the new has come. That means that our hearts have changed. That our hearts have been created anew. And all this comes to you if you only humble yourself by faith. You ask the Lord Jesus himself for it. And say, Lord, I believe that you have given your life for me. And please change my heart that I may understand fully what that means. And grant me your spirit so that I may begin this new life you're talking about. See, that's a Christian who's done that. Christian is someone who has been born again and received new life in his heart. That's our joy as Christians. And since Jesus cleansed our heart, we can be victorious in the battle against sin. Evil thoughts are replaced by wanting to do good. Hatred is replaced by love. Folly is replaced by wisdom. Sure, sometimes we fail one another by allowing our selfishness to rule us. But then the Holy Spirit will remind us that we have to change tack. Our heart can't be at peace any longer with a guilty conscience. And the Spirit will make us repent and return to the rule of love. That is the joy of the new covenant as brought by Jesus Christ. We no longer have to give in to all kind of sins. We have been given a new heart and a new spirit, so that we can live life as we should, so that we can become the people God intends us to be. But it all begins with repentance, with saying farewell to our inclination to Phariseeism, and to humble ourselves before our holy God, who is a loving Father after all. Amen. Let's pray.